You go to a conference and they've got this speaker, you know, main speaker perhaps. And so you go there, there's lots of people in the room, and very early in the conference, just before the main speaker comes to speak, somebody else goes up on stage. And what's his job? To introduce the speaker. That's his job, right? Okay. John, the author of this book, the Gospel of John, is getting ready to tell the story of Jesus. And Jesus, so to speak, is the main speaker. He's the main event. But before Jesus comes on stage, God sends someone else to introduce him. That's the job of John the Baptist. His name also is John. So in this book, there are two Johns. There's John, the author of the book, and who's a different John from John the Baptist. John was a common name in Jesus's day. And so here's how the scripture puts it. This is sort of John the Baptist, his introduction of the main speaker, so to speak. I'm in John chapter 1. I'm going to read. We're going to cover verses 19 to 34, but I'm going to read them in sections. And so, actually, I'll read the whole thing now and we'll break it up as we go through it. This is the testimony of John, that is John the Baptist. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "Well, what then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Well, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Okay. John the Baptist is out in the wilderness, and he's baptizing people out in the wilderness. He's near the Jordan River, it says here in verse 28. He's drawing big crowds. Lots of people are coming to see him. He is preaching a message of repentance. And he's baptizing those who repent. And the Jewish religious leaders in Jerusalem hear about it. They sort of catch wind that, and there's this guy out in the wilderness, you know, drawing lots of crowds, preaching repentance, baptizing people. And lots of people are going out there. And they feel they need to check this guy out. And so they send, it says, some priests and some Levites, is what it says that they send out there. Sort of like a delegation to check him out. And priests, you kind of know what they are. Levites are religious workers. They worked in the temple. They did different kinds of jobs in the temple. But that's who Levites are. Some of them were teachers. Many of the Levites were teachers of the law. And so here comes this group of official religious leaders and teachers out into the desert, and their job is to check out this guy. That's why they're there. And so they ask. This is starting in verse 19. Who are you? Are you the Christ? He says, no, not the Christ. Are you Elijah? No, I'm not Elijah. Are you the prophet? No, I'm not the prophet. Well, then who are you? And his answer is in verse 23. I'm the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. That's his answer to them. And so he's quoting, what John says there is actually a quote from the prophet Isaiah. It's chapter 40, verse 3, if you wanted to look it up. And he's saying, you know the guy Isaiah was talking about? That's who I am. I'm the guy who was going to come before the Lord to make straight his path, to prepare the way for the Lord. That's who I am. And so, if I can put it this way, John is saying, I'm not the main speaker. I'm just the guy who introduces him. That's basically what he's saying. And so they then say, verse 25, look at verse 25. They then say, well, then why are you baptizing? If you're not the main speaker. Now, the idea is, what gives you the authority to do this? That's the idea. You know, who gives you the right to baptize if you're not one of these people? If you were the Messiah, all right, okay, we get it. If you were the prophet, okay, but you're not. You're just the introductory guy. And you're baptizing? That's their thinking. Now, the reason they ask that question has to do with what baptism is. And so, let me talk about that briefly. In Jesus' day, the Jews practiced baptism. Baptism actually is not in the Old Testament, but it was a practice that went on in Jesus' day. And baptism was something that the Jews practiced when someone would convert to become a Jew. If someone was a Gentile who said, I want to follow God Almighty, baptism was a practice that they would do for conversion when you decided you were going to do that. And so they would take you to some water and put you under the water, and you would come up out of the water. And when you came up out of the water, it was a picture of you're new, you're clean. Baptism is really a physical picture of a spiritual truth. You go under the water, you die, and you're buried under the water, and you come up out of the water new and clean. That's what baptism is. What it represents. It represents a spiritual truth. And when you get baptized, you're saying, that happened to me. And so, now John the Baptist, here's the problem they had with John the Baptist doing that. I just told you what it's for. It's for someone who was not a Jew, who converts and becomes a Jew, but John is preaching to Jews. The whole audience is Jewish. And John is saying to these Jews, repent and become Jews. That's what he's saying to them. And here come these religious leaders, like, where do you get off saying this? They don't particularly like that message. Who do you think you are to tell these Jews that they're not Jews? That's the idea. That's why they're so upset. It's why elsewhere the Gospel of John doesn't show this, but in some of the other, in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, we get this interaction with the Pharisees, and John's preaching repentance, and the Pharisees are saying, we are sons of Abraham. And John says, God can raise up from these stones sons of Abraham. So what? And that's the idea. We're Jews. That's what they're saying. We're already Jews. And John is saying, that doesn't mean a thing. Why don't you repent and be real and actually follow God? He's pretty bold with the Pharisees. Okay. Today, Jesus commands baptism for those who follow him. And what it means is the same thing. It means you repent, you follow Jesus, you get baptized. And he gave his life for you. And if you want to follow him, that's a step of obedience to follow him, is to do that. So if you trust him and you say, I want to follow him as Lord, I would encourage you to consider that. You know, let's talk. And so here, the religious leaders are asking on what authority John has to be baptizing. And John knows what authority he has. Because look at verse 33. Verse 33 says this. John says, I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, John is saying someone sent him to baptize with water. He who sent me is God. John knows that God sent him to baptize. They're asking him, why do you baptize? And the natural answer would be, well, God told me to. Because he believes God told him to. He says God sent him to baptize. Except that isn't actually what he says. He doesn't say God sent me to baptize. He doesn't focus on that. He actually doesn't even talk about his own authority. Instead, what's he talk about? Live question. What's he talk about?
Verse 33?
Well, they're asking him, why do you baptize? Right. That's verse 25. And what does he talk about?
He's getting ready. Getting everybody ready for Jesus.
He talks about Jesus. Right. He doesn't talk about himself. Right. He talks about Jesus. Right. So they wonder, why are you baptizing if you are not one of these people who have all this authority? And he says, my baptism is nothing compared to the one who's coming. That's his answer. And then the rest of our text Is John the Baptist lifting up the name of Jesus? Verses 26 to 28 is basically, I am nothing, but there is one who is coming who is so great that I am not even worthy to untie his shoes. That's the idea that he's saying. Verse 29, the next day, it says, and so it's the next day. This is not a continuation of the same conversation. It may be some of the same people, but different conversation, but it's the next day. It says that John sees Jesus. And what does he do? He's going to glorify Jesus amongst the people. He's going to say, here's who Jesus is, verse 29. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's who Jesus is. He sees him and he points him out and says, look, that's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. And so he's saying that this man is higher than John because he existed before John. In terms of birth, John the Baptist is actually older than Jesus. John was born about 6 months before Jesus was born. In terms of birth. But that's not what John's talking about. He's saying Jesus was around long before me. It's the same idea that Jesus says to the Pharisees later in John when he says, before Abraham was, I am. That, you know, they say, you are not yet 50 years old, and yet you have seen Abraham? Oh, before Abraham was, I am, Jesus said. That's the idea. And then here's what else John the Baptist says about Jesus. Verse 33. John's baptism, or excuse me, Jesus' baptism is so much bigger and so much higher and so much better than John's baptism. Jesus baptizes people in the Holy Spirit, he says. John baptizes people in water. Jesus fills you with the Spirit. John can't do that. He doesn't have that kind of power. Jesus changes your life. Jesus has authority that John can't handle. John can't even come close to the authority of Jesus. Then verse 34, he's still talking about Jesus. Verse 34, it says, John says, I've seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He has a unique relationship with his Father. And it's a relationship that John does not have. It's a relationship you don't have. It's a relationship I don't have. It's a relationship no one can have. I don't mean that we cannot be children of God. The Bible does talk about us that way. We're adopted sons and daughters of God. But he is the only begotten Son of God. There's a difference. This gives Jesus an authority that no one on earth has ever had before and ever will have. It gives him also an intimacy with his Father that you and I can only have a picture of. We can have a small taste of intimacy with God, but it's not the same thing as what Jesus has. And so these religious leaders, they come to John and they want to know all about John. And John really tells them very little about himself. He tells them all about Jesus. That's what's going on. And here's the thing of it. Jesus, so actually Jesus talks about John the Baptist elsewhere. Jesus says of John the Baptist, he's the spirit of Elijah that has come. That's what Jesus says about John the Baptist. Well, they just asked John the Baptist if he's Elijah. And he said, no, I'm not Elijah. Well, Jesus says he's the spirit of Elijah. Now, okay, we can quibble over spirit versus, you know, okay, I'm not going to go down that path. But I'm going to say, Jesus also said this about John. Among those born among women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. Think about that for a moment. That includes Abraham and Moses and David and Elijah and Isaiah and all the prophets and all the people who have come before. And Jesus says, John is greater than all those people. John does not know how important he is. He doesn't really see it, how important he is. Instead, he knows how important Jesus is. And that is why he's so important. John is important precisely because he sees how central Jesus is. And he sees how unimportant he is. That's how it is with you and me. In the kingdom of God, the least important people are those who think themselves important. That's how it works in the kingdom of God. If you think you're some, yeah, look at me. If that's how you think, you aren't very important in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, the most important people are those who exalt Jesus as most important. That's how the kingdom works. It doesn't work the way kingdoms down here work. John the Baptist is great because he's not trying to be great. He wants people to see Jesus is great. And that's what makes him great. Now, we wrestle with this. I wrestle with this all the time, this idea, because I want to be important, right? And I mean, let's be honest, you do too. And I'm prone to pride, and my wife will tell you it's true. She doesn't have to laugh or anything. It's true. And part of me would love to have this really big ministry with thousands of people, and but God has me serving a handful of people. That's just where I am. And I have to be okay with that because it's where he's called me. And I have to see that maybe I'm not really as important as I would like to be. Instead, I have to glorify Jesus amongst a handful. But in many ways, I think that my soul is better off than if I did have this great big ministry that I would love to have. Part of me, in my flesh, I would love to do that. And yet, I think my soul's probably better off not having it. Because then my pride would kick in, you know? And I'd probably honor Jesus less. I don't know. I'm not in that. But I am grateful for where God has me. With you guys. That's where he has me. And I'm grateful for that. And so I want my life to exalt Jesus amongst you guys. That's what I would like to do. And you know what? That's your job too. Your job is to exalt your Lord amongst your family, your friends, your neighbors, people you work with, students, whoever's in your world. And, you know, you may not be big and famous and whatnot, and it doesn't matter. You don't have to be. You just be faithful where you are and amongst the people that God has given you. Be grateful for that. And exalt Jesus there. That's what matters. So in the end, Jesus must be most important, not you. And the reason he must be most important is because of who he is. So John identifies him first as Lord. Look at verse 23. That's where he quotes Isaiah. They ask him, well, then who are you? Well, this is who I am. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord. That's what he calls Jesus, Lord. Well, he calls Jesus that because that's what Isaiah calls him. And Lord means authority. There's no such thing as a Lord with no authority. The moment you say Lord, you are saying authority. That's what it means. Lord means you obey him, not the other way around. Lord is the one who is in charge, so to speak. In Isaiah, where John is quoting from, that word Lord, it's a Hebrew word, Yahweh. It's just the name of God. He's making straight the way of God. And so that's why Jesus is important. He's Lord. Here's else why Jesus is important. So that first one is who he is. He's Lord. Here's the second one. What he does. That's verse 29. That's the verse I gave you to memorize. He sees Jesus and he points to him and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This phrase, the Lamb of God, is referring to that takes away the sin of the world, is referring to an Old Testament practice of animal sacrifice for sin. So for thousands of years, the Jews practiced this. And God, it's something like this. God said to the people, you sin. Because you sin, you deserve death. But here's what we'll do. You take that lamb or take that goat, bring him to the altar. Lay your hands on him so that you are identifying yourself with him. You cut his throat and pour out the blood and put him on that altar. I'll count his death for yours. And that went on for thousands of years. And so a Jew in Jesus' day who hears this, this is what's in their mind. That what's in their mind is a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice for sin. And this sacrifice was, it was both justice and mercy at the same time. It was justice because your sin isn't, God just doesn't say, oh, well, you sinned, and hey, okay, no big deal. No, it actually is a big deal. And there actually does have to be a payment for it. And if there isn't a payment for it, then God is not just. But the thing is, God is just. And so there has to be a payment. But it's mercy because it's not you. And it's a picture. And for thousands of years, God let this picture go on. Because Hebrews tells us, the blood of bulls and goats cannot really forgive sin. But it's a picture of something coming that's greater. There's the real Lamb of God who's going to come and who is going to shed his blood. And it's going to be a payment for the sins of the world. And notice he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of what? Of who? The Jews? The world, everybody. That's you. That's me. And so what John the Baptist is saying here is Jesus is that lamb. Jesus will die. He will spill his blood. And that blood will take away the sin of the world. That is what we call the atonement. That's the big fancy theology name for it. That's the cross, is what that is. Christianity without the cross is not Christianity. It doesn't exist. If you take the cross out of Christianity, you are ripping the very heart of Christianity out of it, and you don't have Christianity anymore. You might have some nice morals, but that's about all. But Christianity is not centered on nice morals. It's centered somewhere else. It's centered on Jesus and who he is and what he did. Jesus said this as well. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is saying the same thing. What Jesus means there is the same thing that John the Baptist means when he says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus said he came to die. And in dying, he takes away the sin of the world. He's the sacrificial lamb. And so Jesus is great, not just because he's Lord. That by itself would make him great. But he's also great because he existed before John did. He's great because he baptizes in the Holy Spirit. He's great because he is the Son of God. He's great because he died for your sins. In fact, the death of Jesus makes him greater because of what he did. Because it shows a love that is beyond anything you can imagine. That God, who exists in glory, that God was willing to come down to earth, take on the form of a man, bleed, and die for you and me. Guys, that's the love of God. And so, your purpose is the same purpose as John the Baptist's purpose. John tells us his purpose. I did not know him, but for this purpose, this is verse 31. Look at verse 31 if you want. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. John's purpose was to reveal Jesus to the people he was around. That was in his day, where he was, that was Israel. That's his purpose. Well, you're to do the same thing. You are to reveal Jesus to the people you are around. So, what do you need to do? In what way do... I just think questions for you to think about. In what way do you need to be less important? And in what way do you need to make Jesus more important? And in what way do you need to make Jesus more important to the people? Not just to you, but to others as well. Those are some things to think about. Here's some others. Do you need to be baptized? Do you need to recognize the authority of Jesus in obedience and obey what he says? Do you need to remember the cross more? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I am going to close just by... I want to give us some time to pray. And I want to actually begin with prayers of praise to Jesus for who he is and what he's done.